go through some of the facts about this as you understand them and as your department would have modelled them. As a result of this particular measure, what would be the incremental increase in child poverty?
Well, we don't believe there will be an increase in child poverty because an assumption that had been made, or many of the assumptions are being made by some of the bishops and others, are that absolutely nothing happens. In other words, nobody changes their circumstances. The reality is here, two or three things that have been said. First of all, that capping at average earnings of £35,000 before tax and £26,000 after actually means that we're going to work with families to make sure that they will find a way out, and they'll find a way out by going back to work. Working tax credit is exempt. If you're on disabilities, you'll be exempt, so the most vulnerable will be exempt, and of course war widows will be exempt. But the reality is we've also heard bandied around this homelessness point. The fact is that we have a definition of homelessness.
Let me interrupt. Before you go into homelessness, you have, your department have modelled poverty rates as a result of this, no? I mean, they've done mechanical modelling of what the poverty increase
would be. We're releasing today a series of the impact assessments, and so those will be in for public gaze later.
So there will be
today,
a poverty figure that comes out of that?
Well, our department does not believe that you can directly apportion poverty to this particular measure.
What if you indirectly did it in the sort of traditional way in which these things are done, which is sort of first crude assessment? Let's not worry about the kind of behavioural change that might and might not emerge. What would the increase in poverty be just on the sort of basic, if you take this much money away from this number of families, this is the increase in child poverty?
Well, we just don't believe that's going to happen. The reality is that £26,000 a year, it's very difficult to believe that families will be plunged into poverty. I mean, after all...
Well, I'm amazed that you haven't modelled it before you make that assertion.
We are modelling it, and the reality is...
Well, then you can tell us how many.
The numbers of families involved in this, by comparison with the whole variety of people that are on benefits, is really relatively very small.
That's right. That's why you would model how many go into poverty.
No, you're going off on the wrong track on this one. The reality here is that £26,000 a year, there is absolutely no reason why any family should not be able to be found accommodation, and that why no children should be in any respect plunged into poverty, as you say. And the bishop's wrong, by the way, about families losing child benefit. They're not losing child benefit. We're simply saying that the total amount of money somebody can receive who is in the benefit system will be capped at £26,000 a year. But people who fall out of work, we've always said there'd be discretionary measures to make sure that this doesn't punish people, but that we make sure that we help them to change their circumstances. And those who are doing the right thing or falling out of work, we will support those people to make sure they get back to work and they don't actually end up getting punished.
Just to be absolutely clear, you have modelled the poverty effects, and the result of the modelling and the work that your civil servants did is that the poverty effect is zero.
Now, we're not modelling direct poverty in this regard.
Right. Now, that is amazing that you would not have modelled poverty.
You will see today, Evan, when we publish the figures of the impact assessment across the variety of people and all the ranges of people that we're dealing with, and our belief on this, that at £26,000 a year, this does not plunge people into poverty, children or adults.
Right. Now, you've just mentioned discretionary payments to families who are out of work. Is this actually saying that you recognise that the benefit cap is so crude that you're not actually going to have a benefit cap, because there are going to be top-up payments that might take people above the 26,000 limit?
No, all I've ever said, and this is clear, as we have done with the housing benefit cap that we've already got in place, which has been going since April last year, where we were warned, by the way, that there'd be hundreds of thousands of families cleared from central London, that's not happening, is that we simply said that councils will be able to work with certain key families who may need a little bit more time or need some changes, etc., their circumstances whilst they push them through the cap and into new housing. And that's the nature of what we're talking about. It's about easing the change through for some families. But the reality remains that this cap is, I think, quite fair. It's saying to those who are earning out there, who, you know, many of their children share rooms because they can't afford to live in housing whilst they're earning in central London. And what happens is that they pay the taxes for this, and they need to know that it's fair on them that the benefit goes to those who are not trapped in benefit dependency, but actually are going to be moved from their circumstances so they can actually start playing a positive part, going back to work and actually sorting their family's life out.
Got it. Now, the average pay on which this is based is not a regionalised pay, is it? It's a national cap, so it'll affect as much people in London and the south-east of England, where rents tend to be very high, as it will.